What's going on, everybody? Welcome into MLB The Showcast. I am your host, Adam, or What The Moose, as always, joined by my brother, Aaron. What's up, Aaron? How's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Cannot wait for MLB The Show to release this Friday. It is going to be a major grind.
Let me correct you there. Thursday night.
Thursday night. I will probably not be sleeping, maybe all of Friday, and that will be very interesting to see how that takes a toll on my body. But hey, I'm here for it, and I am excited. Cannot wait. This is our final pod, obviously, before the game comes out, and we will be covering everything that needs to be covered in the week ahead as the game launches and we find out what the hell is going on with the game. Is it going to be fantastic? We'll see. I'm definitely excited for it. But let's hop right into it real quick. On Twitter, over the past couple days, I've been seeing a bunch of stuff about the overalls, about the rating tier changes, about how diamonds are now 85s and up. Basically, that's the whole gist of it. Like, people either misunderstanding or not agreeing that it's a good change or something to that effect. So do you want to hop right into it, Aaron, and just get kind of clarify what is going on with the rating changes? I know we covered this in our last podcast, but I want to make it pretty clear to everybody about how the game is going to operate in this upcoming year.
Right. So a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about on this podcast today is going to be a little bit redundant of what we talked about in our first episode, discussing the overall tier changes that the developers laid out in the Diamond Dynasty deep dive stream. Well, that's a tongue twister. So basically, what the overall tiers were in MLB 17, just to recap, a diamond in MLB 17 was anywhere from a 90 overall to a 99 overall. A gold was between an 85 to an 89 overall. A silver was an 80 to an 84 overall. A bronze was a 70 to a 79 overall. And then a common was anything 69 or under that. What it is now is that a diamond is now 85 to 99 overall. So obviously there's that jump this year that diamonds last year started at 90 overall. Now they start at 85 overall. And then every rating tier gets bumped down from there. So now a gold is an 80 to an 84 overall. Silvers are 75 to 79 overalls. Bronzes are 65 to 74 overalls. And then commons are anything that's 64 and below that. So what does this mean for MLB 18? What do you think it means for MLB 18?
So, I mean, on the face of it, it looks like what Madden Ultimate Team did last year, right? On the face of it, you see diamonds are now 85s rather than 90s, as the lowest diamond, we'll say. Just on the face, that looks like what Madden Ultimate Team did. And if you weren't familiar with that, what Madden Ultimate Team did was they changed their elites, their equivalent of diamonds, from 85 overalls in their game to down to 80s in this past game, Madden 18. What that did, because they didn't change the ratings at all other than just the color on the card, basically, is that made 80 overalls artificial elites. They weren't actually elites. 80 overalls in previous Madden games were golds. But in this new game, they were elites purely because the developers gave them a red border.
Right. So my favorite example to use on this is the Dallas Cowboys, our favorite football team. In Madden 17, they had probably 6 or 7 elites to begin the year. And they return effectively the same team. And now in Madden 18, they have 14 or 15 elites. Like, that's purely because that all these cards that were 80 to 84 overall golds in Madden 17 are now elites just by de facto of them changing the overall tier from being an 85 as the lowest elite to now being an 80 as the lowest overall elite.
Now, I guess the main question is, why is Diamond Dynasty different? Why is it not the same as in an 85 in MLB 17? Is that a diamond in this upcoming game, basically?
So an 85 in last year's Diamond Dynasty, so a gold that's an 85 in MLB 17, will not be an 85 diamond in MLB 18. How do we know this? We know this from the developers in their developer stream. One of the first things that they said in the stream when bringing up this subject was, and I'm paraphrasing but kind of quoting here, that the distribution of golds, diamonds, bronzes, and silvers will remain the same or relatively the same as last year. So what that to me means is, say we started last year with 32 or so live series diamonds, we're going to start this year in MLB 18 with about 30 to 32 live series diamonds. And the same is true for golds. So you're not going to see live series diamonds at the start of this year go from 32 or whatever it was last year to something like 45 or 50. That's not going to happen. It's going to stay at the same, relatively the same amount, and it's going to be relatively the same players. However, the ratings are going to be lower. And they showed us a Barry Larkin.
Yeah, the Barry Larkin example is really good. They showed his card, a card you got for completing the Reds collection, I believe, a 92 overall card in MLB 17. With the exact same stats in MLB 18, that card would have been an 89 overall. And actually, that card was a little bit different. He was actually a little bit better in MLB 18 because they released the cap on those cards. His contact versus left, I believe, was actually higher than 99 in MLB 18. And despite that, despite the card actually being a better card, he actually went down in overall to an 89 just purely because of how they changed the algorithm and changed the way that cards are rated. Another great example I thought was Mike Trout. In the franchise stream, they were showing the Angels, and they showed Mike Trout was a 95 overall. No one in their right mind would say Mike Trout is a 95 overall, at least in previous games. He was always a 99, always has been, and always should have been. And it's not like he had a poor year last year. It's not like he deserves to get a rating drop. And that's the case. He didn't get a rating drop. His ratings are probably going to be very similar to what he had last season. But just because of the way the algorithm has changed, he's now a 95. The basic, the final point on this is that the really good cards, the cards that are 99s and 98s in MLB 18, the show, are going to be amazing cards. They're going to be unbelievable and extremely hard to get. That might annoy some people in terms of a cosmetic. You know, you might not have a lot of 99s in your team like you could have in previous MLB games. But if you do get a 99 or two, they're going to be fantastic cards that are going to be insanely difficult to compete with.
Right, and we should not expect to have teams chock full of 99s, at least not very quickly, because the developers mention in the Diamond Dynasty stream that some of the only 99 overall cards are going to be the Immortals, which, as we discussed on our last podcast, and as remains to be seen once we get our hands on the game, those cards are going to be very, very difficult to get. No longer are we going to have the days of 99 Brett Saberhagen. It's not going to be a 99 overall card.
Yeah, I think that's another good example. We mentioned that in the last podcast. Like, Brett Saberhagen, great pitcher. Does he deserve a 99 overall card? Probably not. That card now will probably be a 95 or a 96. That's probably more representative of what he deserves. And like we've been saying, that card's stats are not going to change. They're going to be exactly the same as they were, potentially even better because of the, you know, lifting of the cap on 99 attributes. But just because his overall decreased does not mean his card is actually any worse.
Right. And one thing that we haven't stated, but we probably should, is that we're saying the stats are going to remain the same. This is based on what the developers are telling us in the Diamond Dynasty stream. We have no reason to disbelieve them. And it goes without saying that we expect that the card will play exactly the same or relatively the same in MLB 18 as it did in MLB 17, regardless of what the number on the top right corner of the card says.
Right. So now that we kind of laid that out, let's go through a couple of different things we've seen on social media, especially Twitter, different arguments that people have made either against the system or basically being skeptical about the system. So first one that hopefully you can answer, Aaron, is, you know, basically if there is a pack eventually, maybe a month or two in, that guarantees you, let's say, a diamond card. You're guaranteed a diamond from this pack. Is that pack now less valuable because you're like the lowest card you can get is an 85 rather than a 90? Is that a worse pack than it would have been in MLB 17?
So it shouldn't be. And why it shouldn't be is one of the first points that we raised when we were talking about this overall tier change, is that the developers indicated to us, the viewers, that the distribution amongst the tiers, your diamonds, your golds, your silvers, is not going to change. You're not going to see a much bigger influx of diamonds versus golds versus silvers. This distribution is going to remain the same as in past years. So your chances of pulling a diamond and your chances of pulling a good diamond versus a bad diamond should be about the same, if not exactly the same, in MLB 18 as they were in MLB 17. But just because you're getting a lower overall card in MLB 18 That's just a perception thing. That's just the number on the top right of the corner. It's the same exact card as a card that would have had a higher overall in MLB 17.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good point.
All right, so another argument that we've seen a lot on Twitter that hopefully, Adam, you can dispel a little bit, is that this change in lowering the tiers from 90 overall being the lowest tier diamond to 85 overall being the lowest overall diamond is really just a ploy by Sony San Diego Studios to get people to pull more packs.
So that was, you know, a common misconception, I would say, with the change. In that, I think the main argument is that people think that there will be more diamonds pulled because it's a lower overall tier now. And as we've been trying to mention, it's not really the case. Because, like we keep saying, the distribution should be the same, assuming they're not lying to us, which I have no reason to believe they would be. There will be no difference in the distribution. So you'll pull diamonds at the same rate you did last year. You'll pull golds at the same rate, and et cetera, et cetera. So even though their overalls will be less, you'll probably still pull diamonds about at the same rate. Now, does that mean some people might get upset when they finally do pull a diamond and it's only an 87? Maybe they do. I would say they'd be, you know, unjustified in being upset about that, since that card is likely basically equivalent to like a 91 or a 92 from last year's game, which is a pretty solid card. So just try to keep that in perspective, especially if you're pulling packs on the day the game comes out. If you do pull like an 85 or an 86 and you get upset that that's a diamond, don't be. That's actually a really good card. That's going to be a 90, 91, 92 overall card from last year's game equivalently. So try to think about it like that. You know, add 3, 4, 5 overall to the player if you need to, and think about it like that. That's the quote-unquote card you pull.
Right. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for me. It's going to be difficult for Adam. It's going to be difficult for a lot of people who are used to the MLB 17 rating system, the fact that 90 to 99 is a diamond and 85 to 89 is a gold. It's going to be difficult to get over that perception. However, like Adam said, just add 3 or just add 4 to whatever the overall is, and that's, you'll get a better sense of how that card compares to its peer in MLB 17.
Now, that being said, like, I think that kind of segues pretty nicely into the next argument we have, which is this change might inflate the market in some way because you might have to spend more for guys that you may want. So, for instance, let's take the Mike Trout example. Are you going to have to spend more for Mike Trout because he's a 95 rather than a 99?
So I kind of want to turn this on its head a little bit. I think if we're going off of what the community perceives as value and a card's value is directly tied to its overall, wouldn't card values decrease a little bit? Mike Trout sold for most of this year for anywhere between 250 to 400,000 stubs. As a 99 overall, the best live series card in the game by far. I could easily see that this 95 Mike Trout selling for 150 to 200 just because the community doesn't perceive its value to be there, simply because it says 95 instead of 99.
Right. I think that's pretty much the only thing that we could potentially see from this change happening, is that maybe people see the overall and think, oh, that card, and just, you know, instinctually think that card isn't as valuable as he was in the past. Not looking at the stats, but just looking at the overall, which I think is a wrong way to look at it, but it is a psychological thing, and I can understand how that would happen. So I really think that's the only possible thing we could see in terms of the market, is guys that are, let's say, you know, 92 overalls in MLB 18, which would have been, you know, like a 96 in MLB 17, a card that sells for probably upwards of 150,000 stubs, selling for a little bit less than that just because the overall doesn't seem as high. I could see it happening, but then again, like I said, it probably shouldn't happen.
Right, so another argument that we saw going off of this overall tier change is just a really skeptical view of how it might change the market. Is there anything else you wanted to add to this?
Not really. I think that's basically, that's a fair viewpoint, I think, on it, is we don't know what's going to happen with the market. Will it affect it? Probably in some way. But for either of us to be definitive about it, or anyone else to be definitive about it, I think is a little bit too early.
Right. And I think the just having the opinion that you're going into the game automatically disliking whatever the change the developer made because it's going to, quote-unquote, change the market. I think that's a bad reason to be skeptical or concerned about a change. The market is going to correct itself eventually. The market is going to bear itself out. People are going to find ways to invest into cards and get the cards that they want. Cards that are rare and cards that are good are going to retain their value no matter what their overall says.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we pretty much covered everything that we wanted to in terms of the overall changes. If you guys still don't understand how the changes are affected, please tweet at us. You know, absolutely, we'll be happy to answer if we can. And hopefully we can help you out on that.
Right. And so just a reminder, our show's Twitter page is at MLB The Showcast. My Twitter page is at Aaron Plays MLB, and Adam's is at X What The Moose. So again, if you have any questions about how we think this overall tier might affect Madden, or excuse me, MLB The Show 18, let us know. And of course, all of our commentary here is based off of the Diamond Dynasty stream, what the developers have represented to us, the community, in that stream. All right, going on to our next topic, we want to touch on the new legends that have been introduced to MLB The Show 18. As most of you might know already, the developers have indicated that there's going to be about 30 new legends in MLB 18 that were not in MLB 17. Of course, we've already touched on the big guys in our previous podcast, and those really big names that we've seen revealed are obviously Babe Ruth, Bob Gibson, Vlad Guerrero, Mike Piazza, Trevor Hoffman, and Frank Thomas. Trevor Hoffman was the guy that they just revealed in the latest developer stream. And because he's a Hall of Famer, I don't know how big of a name he is.
He's arguably the second best closer of all time, probably. So I think that's right, but that's pretty high up there, I would say.
But I don't know if he sells copies of the game.
Probably not, but I don't think you really need more quote-unquote copy sellers after, Babe Ruth, Bob Gibson, Vlad Guerrero, Mike Piazza. That's pretty good to me, right?
Right. You definitely don't need more names. However, so we haven't seen... So they've revealed about 16 of the 30 new legends, so we haven't seen 14.
Right.
Where I'm going with this, in the sense that they released Trevor Hoffman in the last stream, is that don't be surprised if the other 14 aren't big names. They're going to be along the lines of the Rob Nen that they sort of dropped in an Easter egg, one of the streams. They're not going to be huge guys. They're going to be your Dante Bichette's.
I think I agree with that. I doubt they would have some crazy, legend up their sleeve that we don't know about. It's possible, of course, but like I was talking about with Aaron off the air, the fact that they revealed Trevor Hoffman pretty much indicates to me that they don't have Mariano Rivera.
Right, because logic would indicate that if they were going to reveal Trevor Hoffman, who's the second best closer of all time, if they had Mariano Rivera, they probably would have revealed Mariano Rivera instead of Trevor Hoffman.
Right, and I think you can apply that logic to almost anybody else. If they had Pedro Martinez, maybe they would reveal him over Bob Gibson. Not that Pedro Martinez is necessarily better than Bob Gibson, but at least in the current day and age, he's definitely more of a relevant figure than Bob Gibson. So anything like that, you can toss in somebody and kind of, figure out if they may or may not be in the game. But if they're a pretty big name, especially if they're, a Hall of Famer that just got inducted in the last few years, probably not in the game if they haven't been announced yet.
Right, exactly. So it'll be interesting to see, once we get our hands on the game, who these legends are, and hopefully a lot of these new guys will be in the game right away so we can see. Hopefully some of them aren't, so there'll be surprises along the way, either through the ticket store or later career arcs that drop, different things like that, so we can be surprised throughout the year. But going off of the list of legends that have been revealed, who are you most excited to add to your team? And I'll sort of run through the list right now of guys that we haven't talked about, so I'll give you a little sense. So we've got Troy Percival, Lee Smith, Pee Wee Reese, Don Sutton, Doc Ellis, Benito Santiago, Larry Doby, Joe Torre, Albert Bell, and Rob Nen. Who you got?
I mean, I'd probably say Joe Torre, honestly. That's definitely an interesting one to me. Definitely one I did not think that would be coming to the game. I would say him just purely because I don't remember him as a player, obviously. I never watched him play. I remember watching him you know, kill the Red Sox when I was a young kid, and then eventually the Red Sox obviously got the best of the Yankees and Joe Torre. But, you know, that is my memory of Joe Torre, so it'll be interesting to see how he plays in the game. I think another one that'd be fun is Troy Percival. I do remember him actually as a player, so I think it'll be fun to pitch with him. But, I mean, what about you? You got anybody that you're super excited about from that list?
So, being a Red Sox fan, I obviously have to go with a former Red Sox player, and that would be Lee Smith. This guy is a fireballing closer, much along the lines of a guy like Goose Gossage, and I just remember how frustrating it was to try to hit Goose Gossage in MLB 17 with that 101 mile an hour fastball, that 94 mile an hour sinker, and then that 80 something mile an hour knuckle curve or slurve that's coming in at you. Just a dirty pitch selection. And I don't know Lee Smith's selection, but I would imagine it's going to be something similar. He's going to have a high 90s fastball and I think a devastating splitter. So that's going to be a fun guy to use out of the bullpen. And I'm all for adding different bullpen pieces so we don't have to keep running out there Carter Capps, Felipe Rivero, the same guys on every single team.
My bullpen did not change for like months on end.
Right.
Like, I had the same guys in there. You'd see me with Dylan Betances or Aroldis Chapman. Like just anybody like that. I agree. It's nice to see any new relievers.
Yeah. And I think the other guy that I'm interested to play with, not necessarily because I believe he's going to be a really good player in MLB 18, but more for the historical context in which his place in history is, and that would be Larry Doby. So for a lot of you who are younger and don't know, Larry Doby is well known and it's famous in Major League Baseball because he broke the color barrier in the American League. So Jackie Robinson gets a lot of credit, and rightfully so. He was the first black player to ever play in the major leagues, breaking the color barrier in 1947. However, later that year, Larry Doby actually broke in with the Cleveland Indians. So Jackie Robinson gets a lot of publicity for having to deal with, obviously, the blatant racism that came along his way. And a guy that sort of goes under the radar and doesn't get the respect I think he deserves in dealing with more or less the exact same stuff, I would imagine, is Larry Doby. So that's a guy that I want to play with just for as a baseball historian.
Yeah, it's definitely cool to have that little aspect. And honestly, the fact that it is a card collecting mode, I would love to have cards that had like a little, you know, bio on the back of the cards maybe every once in a while. I'm pretty sure we don't have that this year, but maybe for the future that'd be cool, especially for guys like that are pretty influential.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a great thing. Madden Ultimate Team does that to a degree. There's a very small little snippet on every single player on the back of their card. And being that baseball is the historical game, the stats matter across generations the most in baseball as opposed to any other sport. I think it'd be really cool if MLB The Show developers could incorporate that into the cards or in some way into Diamond Dynasty to get this younger audience of video game players interested in who guys like Larry Doby and Don Sutton and Pee Wee Reese were, as opposed to just, all right, well, Pee Wee Reese is that like defensive shortstop that I'm never going to play with.
Right. Yeah, here, I'm going to throw a little curveball at you here. And if you need time to answer, I can give you mine. What is one legend unannounced so far that you would love to see? Now, this is with the caveat that, like we said, any new legend that we don't know about yet is probably not going to be, you know, your super mega Hall of Famer Ken Griffey type. He's going to be a little bit under the radar. Maybe was an all-star 4 or 5 times, whatever the case may be. Who's one player like that that you'd want? And like I said, if you need time, I can give you mine.
So I think if we're going to go with the caveat that it's not a Hall of Famer and...
I would say not a recent Hall of Famer.
Okay, not a recent Hall of Famer, but is a guy that made 4 to 5 All-Star games. As a Red Sox fan, I'd have to go with Nomar Garciaparra.
Yeah,
that's my go-to. I was born in the early 90s. He was on the Red Sox for when I started growing into my fandom as a fan. His time with the Red Sox culminated and ended with him being traded to the Chicago Cubs.
Yep.
In a trade that landed us Orlando Cabrera and Doug Mankiewicz, and we ended up winning the 2004 World Series. I'm saying we as if I was on the team. So a guy like Nomar, a right-handed bat who can play short, who can play a mean shortstop, but is also a really good hitter. I think that'd be a really fun card to use. I remember his, if I remember correctly, his rookie season was really, really good. He won Rookie of the Year, so he'd have a really good rookie card and a pretty decent All-Star card as well. So I think definitely. A guy like Nomar would be my choice.
Yeah, Nomar would definitely be beast. I'm going to go with another Red Sox player, although he could have many different cards, Mo Vaughn. I mean, this dude was Big Poppy before Big Poppy was Big Poppy. Like, I don't remember Mo Vaughn too well, but I remember him hitting dingers, and I would love to do that, and that would be the show.
I was definitely devastated when Mo Vaughn signed with the Los Angeles Angels, or the Anaheim Angels, as they were known.
I think it was
known.
California at the time.
No, they weren't California. It wasn't that old. I remember his career was not the same after he was playing first base in Anaheim, and he slipped down the steps and really messed up his, I don't know if it was his arm or his leg or something.
I can't remember, but
he
remember
most of the
hurt.
Year. It was just too bad because of the guy that definitely mashed. How about this? All right, so we both named Red Sox players or former Red Sox players. Name a guy that's not a former Red Sox player that you'd want
to
see.
You're going to have to give me a minute. If you have one right off the top of your head,
I've got one. So this is a guy that actually played for the Yankees for a little bit, and I think he was on the 2004 Yankees. He might not have been. He was on the Yankees in around that time. He's a guy that stepped up. Whenever he stepped up to the plate, I almost shat my pants every single time.
I think I know who you're going to say. Can I guess who you're going to say?
You can guess who I'm going to say.
Gary Sheffield.
Definitely. Gary Sheffield. That bat waggle, that swagger that he had on the field, that would be an amazing card. Imagine trying to pitch against Gary Sheffield with his bat waving back and forth.
I'm giving him a free pass.
Good luck trying to time your pitch on MLB 18.
You can take your base, Gary Sheffield. Yeah, that's a pretty good one. That's a really good choice. A couple names come to mind. The problem is they definitely would be the big legends that would have been revealed. But like Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa would be fun.
Would that not be sick? Like, just his iconic jump after he hit a home run every time. That's awesome. One that probably wouldn't be revealed yet if he were in the game is like Troy Gloss. I think that'd be kind of cool. Or even Craig Biggio. Craig Biggio would probably be revealed by now. One of those two guys.
I think Biggio's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no, Biggio's definitely a Hall of Famer. I'm just getting at guys that haven't been revealed yet, basically. Right. Any of those guys just jump off the page to me right away. I think those would be pretty cool. The kind of early 2000s, late 90s guys would be awesome.
Yeah, as a person that has probably 50,000 to 75,000 baseball cards sitting in my parents' basement at this point. There's plenty of guys from that late 90s, early 2000s era that I'd be ecstatic if they would be able to join the MLB 18 community.
Yeah. In the end, I'll be happy with whatever happens, but if one of those guys are it, you heard it here first. So finally, let's get into you're basically gearing up for Thursday night. If you haven't pre-ordered the game yet, what should you pre-order, and you know, where should you pre-order, basically? So let's hop right into that.
Right. So there's a couple different editions. We'll start from the cheapest edition going to the most expensive, and we're only going to focus on the ones that are either available in store or the ones that are available on the PlayStation Network. So the base edition, which I don't believe it's available on PlayStation Network, at least I didn't see it today when I was preparing for this episode. It's the base edition. It sells for the standard price of a video game. You're $59.99. So what do you get with that? You get the game itself. You get 10 standard packs, one legend card, and 5,000 stubs. That's it. That's the base edition.
Yeah. Now, real quick, before we keep going, if you were to buy that, let's say at like Best Buy or on Amazon or Target or anywhere like that, you will be able to play that game on Tuesday. You cannot play it on Friday or Thursday night, as we keep saying. The only way you can play the game early with the early access is if you get it via GameStop or you get it via the PlayStation Store. If you buy anywhere else, like I mentioned, like Best Buy, Amazon, wherever the case may be, and it's not GameStop or the PlayStation Network, you cannot play until Tuesday. So keep that in mind. I know a lot of guys out there have like the Best Buy Gamers Club or whatever, which is a great deal. But if you have that and you want to play the game early, you're going to have to get it at either GameStop or on the PlayStation Network.
Right. And as a reminder, what we've been seeing on Twitter and on the PlayStation Network is that the game is going to go live at 9 p.m. Pacific time. So that's 12 a.m. Eastern, Thursday night or Friday morning, however you want to look at it. And from what I've seen on Twitter, a lot of GameStops are going to have midnight releases. So you're going to want to check in with your GameStop to make sure that if you pre-ordered from GameStop, that they're actually going to have that midnight pre-release so you can get the game, start to download it, and then play it before you go to bed. Versus if you're going to have to wait until they open at, say, 9 a.m.
Going to bed. Are you going to bed on Friday?
I'm not going to bed on Friday. Right. Well, Friday night.
All right, so let's get into the next edition. The next one is called the MVP edition. It sells for $70 or $69.99. You get, obviously, the game. And then on top of that, you get a mission starter for a gold player, 5,000 stubs, a sponsor pack, a classic stadium, and 10 standard packs. So the main difference between that edition and the standard $60 edition is you get the mission starter for a gold player, a sponsor pack, and a classic stadium. You get the same amount of stubs, only 5,000, and you get the same amount of packs at only 10. So basically, you're paying $10 more to get a mission starter for a gold player, a sponsor pack, and a classic stadium. Is that worth $10? I think it could be.
So I think it will be. So if you want to try to put dollar values to each of these add-ons that you just added. So the classic stadium, if you're looking based on MLB 17, the classic stadiums went from anywhere, at least on the opening weekend, they probably went from anywhere from 3,000 to 10,000 stubs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to say the 10,000. They almost all of them went for like polo 2 grounds, to 5. Though. But that's polo basically grounds. It. Polo is going to sell for a lot because it's polo grounds. So if you get lucky and you pull polo grounds, this edition is definitely worth it for you. But you can't guarantee that. So I think you probably want to put like a 3,000 stub value on this.
Okay. And then the sponsor pack, I can't remember exactly what it was in MLB 17, but effectively, I believe it was just a bunch of either uniforms or maybe was it just sponsorships?
I think it gives you equipment and sponsorships. I think you don't want to assign much more than 1,000 to 2,000 stub value on that. Unless you're going to use your creative player or you play Road to the Show, I would kind of say that's a moot point and you shouldn't care too much about it.
Although something that we mentioned in last stream or last podcast was that with the emphasis shifting on the creative player to the sense that you can't have a purely 99 overall creative player, there might be more of a value on equipment this year. So to the extent that the sponsor pack gives you equipment, that equipment might be more valuable in MLB 18 as opposed to what it was in MLB 17. But obviously that remains to be seen. So I don't think you should be basing any sort of pre-order decisions based on the presence of this sponsor pack.
Right. And then the big prize of this one over the base edition is the mission starter for a gold player. What that is going to do, if you guys didn't see it in MLB 17, the show, is basically you're going to get a card. It's likely going to be a common or a bronze card, and you're going to have to do a mission with that card. I think our card last year was like Jim Palmer, and you had to get like 25 strikeouts or something. Like, it was pretty simple.
I think it was like 75 strikeouts.
Maybe it was 75. It was a lot, yeah. It was like very simple, though, very easy to do. Just takes a little bit of time and you'll get the card. And basically, once you get that challenge done, you get a gold player. They were specific gold players. I think I had gotten a David Peralta, who was pretty good. But basically, you can think about this as in a free gold player is essentially what it is. A free gold player you have to work a little bit for, but it is free on top of the base edition. So that's basically what you're buying this edition for.
Right. So I think you can probably assign that gold player a value of, let's say, 5,000 stubs.
Something like that.
That seems about reasonable for a gold player at the beginning of the game. But you also have to remember that these are likely very limited players in the sense that this is the only way to get this player.
Yeah. Like, so I mentioned, I got that David Peralta. There was no other way to get that David Peralta other than through that challenge.
Right. They ultimately added those cards to the ticket store, but they didn't add those until probably, what, November, December? Right.
And at that point, who cares, to be honest? Like, I mean, a lot of people were still playing at that time, of course, but at that point, that's fine. You had already had a huge, huge head start with that card, right, basically.
And because the MVP edition is on the PlayStation Network, I think that alone is worth the $10 that you would pay to upgrade over the base edition, which, like I said, I don't think it's on the PlayStation Store, but the ability to pre-download that game, to be able to access it, God willing, the servers work at midnight Eastern time on Thursday night, Friday morning. I think that in itself is worth the $10 to not have to wait, get home from GameStop, download the game for an hour, and then hope to be able to get on.
Yeah, that's definitely a quick point that we need to hammer home. Like, unless you just love having the physical disc because you want to resell it in the future.
It's 2018, people.
Like, you should get it digital. Because if you can get it digital, you can preload the game, which means right at 12:01 a.m. you can load up the game. Whereas if you got it at GameStop at 12:01, now you got to drive back home, you got to install the game. It's probably 2 o'clock before you even get to play.
Oh, at 20%, you're probably going to be a play. You probably play a play now game.
Yeah. So I mean, I understand the desire to get a physical copy of the game, but unless you really don't know if you're going to like the game, you should probably just get it digital.
Yeah, and I think the only rationale behind getting a physical copy of the game is if you're a Yankee fan and you want that All Rise edition and you want that pretty cool looking hat.
Yeah, so let's get into that while we mention it. There are two different $100 editions of the game. One is the Digital Deluxe Edition, which is obviously only available on the PlayStation Store. And then the other is the All Rise Edition, like we just mentioned, which is a little bit different, but basically has very similar things you get with it. So the Digital Deluxe, you get the game, obviously. You get a mission starter for a diamond player now. You also still get the mission starter for a gold player. You get what's called a Digital Deluxe Leadoff Pack, which we'll just say straight up, we don't know what that is. We both speculate that it's probably like a gold player, but that's complete speculation. We don't know what that is. You get 11,000 stubs now, which is 6,000 more than the other editions. You get a sponsor pack just like the other ones, a classic stadium. Now you get 20 standard packs, so 10 more than the other ones. And you also get 30 PS4 themes, which is, you know, kind of what it is. So basically the big difference is mission starter for diamond player, Digital Deluxe Leadoff Pack, 6,000 more stubs, and then 10 more standard packs. All for basically $30 more than the MVP edition. I think that's a pretty good value there.
Right. So assigning value to those, obviously the 6,000 more stubs and the 10 more standard packs, standard pack in previous year's games, and I assume it's no different in this year. They're 1,000 stubs each. So that in itself, the stubs and the extra standard packs, that's 15,000 or 16,000 stubs worth. So it's about $15 worth. And now the question is, jumping from $70 for the MVP edition to $100 for the Digital Deluxe, do the Digital Deluxe Leadoff Pack and the Mission Starter for the Diamond Player, does that equate to about $15 of value?
I would say yes, but it's very hard to tell. I think if you want more control over your stubs, basically, you're probably better off just getting the MVP edition and then dropping $30 in the game in stubs. But then again,
I think if you want something fun to do right away, if you want to get those gold and diamond starter players on your team, I would probably end up going with the Digital Deluxe, and I know that's what we have both opted to go with.
Right. I mean, in the end, those diamond and gold starter mission players are almost certainly going to be limited players that you can only get via that, you know, those challenges. And I think that's pretty cool to have, you know, a couple players that are kind of exclusive to players that bought certain editions of the game. And I mean, to me, that's worth the premium.
Exactly.
All right, finally, the All Rise Edition is very similar to the Digital Deluxe. It's also $100, but this one you have to get at GameStop. It's not, you know, on the PSN store or anywhere else. Obviously, given that Aaron Judge is on the cover, that's why it's called the All Rise Edition. It's very heavily focused on Aaron Judge and the Yankees. Like Aaron said, if you're a Yankees fan, highly recommend it. If I were a Yankees fan, I think I would almost certainly get this edition. It's pretty darn cool. You get a All Rise hat with it, which is, you know, honestly a cool hat. You also get a steelbook case for the game. And then honestly, the in-game rewards you get are very similar. The only little difference is you only get 10 standard packs and not 20. So you get 10 less standard packs than the Digital Deluxe, but in exchange, essentially, you get that hat and the steelbook. I think that's probably a good deal. Like I said, for a Yankees fan or somebody that really likes Aaron Judge. Otherwise, I would probably just stick with the Digital Deluxe.
Yeah. I think GameStop is also giving a 5 pack bonus for pre-ordering at GameStop.
Yes, that's
true. So instead of getting just the 10, you will get 15.
I believe that's on any edition as well. So if you were to get any edition at GameStop, you can just tack on 5 extra standard packs on whatever you're already getting if you get it at GameStop. All right, so that's basically it in terms of the editions. Like we both said, just a quick wrap up. We're both getting the Digital Deluxe because we like the idea of the mission starters, but we also do think the MVP edition is a pretty darn good value. And if you're a Yankees fan, go for the All Rise edition. It should be pretty cool. Right.
But regardless of what edition you get, if you buy from the PlayStation Store, the first thing you should do when you get home Thursday, if you want to play right when the game opens, so right at midnight Eastern time on Friday morning, you're going to want to pre-download the game. And it was kind of confusing how to figure out how to do that last year. So we will walk you through that process on our Twitter feed. And again, that is at MLB The Showcast. We'll be walking through you exactly how you go about pre-downloading the game, because the last thing you want to do is have that clock strike midnight and you not be able to get into the game because you haven't downloaded yet.
Yeah, definitely make sure you pre-download it. Huge point to reiterate. All right, finally, let's get into some Twitter questions. This is going to be a It's going to be a feature on every single episode. Hopefully, you guys send in your questions whenever you want. You know, tweet at me, tweet at Aaron, tweet at our podcast handle, whatever it may be, and we'll try to answer anything we got. So first up, Frankie asks, is the ticket store going to stay the same in MLB 18 The Show?
So they touched on this in the Diamond Dynasty stream, and they said it's going to remain relatively the same. Obviously, they're not going to have the same players, or at least I hope they wouldn't have the same exact players. But I think what the ticket store was in MLB 17 is going to be pretty representative of how it's going to look in MLB 18.
Yeah, I really hope it is too. I love the ticket store. I think it's one of the best aspects of Diamond Dynasty. Great way to get some different players on your team for more or less free, just on top of whatever you're doing, because you get tickets for playing, you get tickets for doing missions. I think it's one of the best things in Diamond Dynasty. So hopefully, honestly, there's no changes to it.
And just as a quick tip for any of you who might be just starting out on Diamond Dynasty, I know a couple of you have reached out to us on Twitter saying that you're listening to our podcast as Diamond Dynasty noobs. There's going to be cards in the ticket store at launch. They're probably going to be bronzes and silvers. We cannot stress enough, do not waste your tickets on these cards. Wait until there's either a really good gold, or preferably wait it out until there's a really good diamond you want.
Absolutely.
I think I waited last year until they dropped the 94 Victor Martinez. It pained me to wait all that time and sort of pass up on decent looking gold, but I knew that the later we went into the game cycle, the bigger and better rewards they were going to drop in the ticket store.
Yeah. Also, a quick note on that, you will have a universal profile in the game, which you'll have a level attached to it. If they follow the same level strategy, which they did last year, which I'm not sure if they've confirmed that. I don't think they have. But let's assume they did. There were four different levels, obviously starting with essentially, I think you started at bronze, and then yep, silver, gold, and diamond. They are going to give you better options in the store at the higher level you get. So if you're close to, let's say, you know, you're close to being almost a gold level player, once you're there, you save your tickets. I mean, you should be saving your tickets throughout. But once you get close, definitely do not spend on anything. You never know what's going to be waiting once you level up.
Exactly. All right, so the next question comes in from at Oren3530. And his question is, who are some of the must-get players to start the year? Excluding diamonds, he's primarily looking for golds, silvers, and maybe bronzes. So what do you think?
So that's kind of tough. It all depends on your play style. Do you want guys that, you know, are high risk, high reward? Guys like maybe Joey Gallo, who's going to have a ton of power, but like no vision. You know what I mean? Like guys like that are probably going to be relatively cheap, but have really decent stats. Or do you want somebody, or I should say really decent stats in one key area like power for Gallo? Or do you want somebody like last year? I remember Franklin Gutierrez was a really popular guy early last year because he was very balanced. He had like 70 plus stats in almost every hittings category, but he was still a bronze. Guys like that can definitely be an option. Obviously, it remains to be seen who that guy might be, but try to be on the lookout for guys that are either, you know, really balanced across the board, 60 or 70 stats everywhere, but happen to be, let's say, a silver. Guys like that are probably the guys you want to go for.
Yeah, so I'm gonna answer this from the perspective of a player that early in the game I'm primarily going to play mostly against the computer to try to get knock out these programs, but I might also want to take my team online a little bit. So guys that I'm going to target, and it all depends on their overalls, and obviously we don't know ratings yet. I'm looking at a guy like a Carter Capps, a dominant wipeout reliever with disgusting heat and also a really good slider that I can throw in there against any hitter and be confident that I'm going to get the guy out. So I don't know who it's going to be this year because obviously we haven't seen those ratings come out. But if Carter Capps is sort of the representative example of a guy that I target early on, he's going to be cheap because he's not going to be a gold. At least I don't think he's going to be a gold. Or if he is, find a guy like him that's a silver.
Right. What about, let's twist this question a little bit. What about one guy that you think is a good investment early on? Like we said, we don't know ratings yet, so it's kind of difficult to answer this question, but what's one guy you might think, you know, might be a good investment early on that is going to progress throughout the year?
So a guy...
I have one if you need time.
I'll let you go first.
So, I mean, the one that I'm thinking of, and I hate to keep harping on the Red Sox, but that's the team I'm most focused on. I'm a huge fan, obviously, is Rafael Devers. I mean, this kid lit up the world when he came in to the league last year. Obviously hit that home run off Chapman on Sunday Night Baseball. Absolutely incredible. I cannot imagine he's going to be any better than a silver to start the year. And if that's the case, I could easily see him going gold. Probably not diamond. I mean, it would be kind of difficult for him to get diamond status. But if he goes gold, you know, in May, you can make a ton of stubs if you have like 100 or 200 Rafael Devers cards. So somebody like that, you know, pick a rookie from your favorite team that came up late in the year last year that might be a bronze or a silver. That guy is definitely one to look at. I mean, look at the guys that last year made people tons of stubs. Cody Bellinger, Aaron Judge, those dudes made people tons of stubs. Definitely guys like that are the ones you want to look out for.
Yeah. So now that you mentioned Devers, I'm going to go with a guy that, well, he's not in the MLB yet. He will be in the MLB soon. And that's a guy that just got sent down today to AAA. A little controversy surrounding that. And that's Ronald Acuna?
I think it's Acuna.
Acuna. Of the Atlanta Braves. This guy absolutely tore the cover off the ball in spring training. Hit about 450. He had four bombs. He's going to come up. He's going to be up in the majors within probably 3 weeks. Because if you know, there's a rule that says if you're called up after, I think it's like April 17th or so, the team gets an extra year of control over you. So he's going to be called up shortly after that, a la how Chris Bryant was handled by the Chicago Cubs a couple years back. He's going to come up, and I would expect him to be slotted right into the starting lineup. He's going to hit. He's going to hit big. He's going to be a card that's going to start out as a bronze. So you're going to be able to invest in him from the ground level when he's a bronze. And I think he's a guy that could go gold by the end of the year.
Yeah, it's definitely a good one. Keep your eye on Ronald Acuna. So next one up is from Pug Superstar or PUG Superstar. He asks, how should we plan on road mapping and what types of stat-based kind of requirements overlap well?
So this is something that we're not really going to know until we get our hands on the game and can actually walk through each of the different programs and sort through what are the different requirements for each of the programs. We sort of touched on this in our last podcast, in the sense that we're going to want to map out exactly how we can double dip between these programs. Why is that important?
If you can double dip, you can get programs done twice as fast. I mean, that's just basically the easiest way around it. I think I used an example last podcast. I'll say it again because it's pretty intuitive, but you just need to think about it kind of. If you're going for, let's say, I'm trying to think of a team. If you're going for, let's say, the Yankees team epic, right? And you have, let's say you have Aaron Judge on your team. So a right fielder, you have Aaron Judge, and you also want to do a career arc for a right fielder. I don't know who that would be, but you want to do a career arc and the Yankees team epic at the same time. If you have Aaron Judge on your team, you can easily double dip on those by getting hits with right fielders and getting hits with Yankees players just by using Aaron Judge. So looking for things like that where you can, like we keep saying, double dip will greatly reduce the time you need to spend in programs.
Right. And so we mentioned this on the last podcast. Once we get our hands on the game, we are going to sift through meticulously and list out what are the best ways that you as the community can double dip or triple dip or quadruple dip to get these stat-based missions done in the fastest way possible. We'll give you a list of players. We'll give you a list of missions. And we'll have that shortly after the game is released.
Absolutely. Cannot wait to get into the game and see what's see exactly how we can get into it like that.
Exactly. All right, and now final Twitter question from @SunnyP1986. What's one or two of the immortals that you want to get? For him, it's Chipper and either Ripken or Griffey.
I mean, for me, like, aside from Babe Ruth, because I think everybody wants Babe Ruth. Who wouldn't? I mean,
exactly.
Like, one of the top three baseball players ever, probably. Yeah, absolutely incredible. Other than him, I got to go with Vlad Guerrero. I mean, that's my guy. I loved watching Vlad when I was growing up. this dude hit baseballs if they bounced before the play. He did not care. And that card would be awesome to get. Now, that being said, he is an immortal, but he isn't really in the immortals' track, so to speak. At least we believe you get him by collecting all the cards in the game. So to call him an immortal is a little bit odd because it doesn't look like you can necessarily grind for Guerrero. Either way, that's a card I definitely want to get my hands on.
Yeah. I mentioned this in the last podcast. I really want to try out that Bob Gibson. It looks like he has a disgusting pitch selection, can throw upwards of 97 miles an hour. He's going to have incredible break on all of his pitches. He's a guy that I really want to play with. And obviously, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Ted Williams. He's a card that I've grinded for at the beginning of every single MLB The Show game in recent memory. I've gotten him on my team as soon as possible in every single recent MLB The Show. He's going to be a guy that I want to use his immortal card for sure.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine having an outfield of Ted Williams and Babe Ruth in there and Vlad Guerrero.
Babe Ruth, I'm not playing in the outfield. He's got secondary at first base. He's going to be playing first base. He's going to be parking his butt at first base. I'm not having that 55-speed outfielder covering the field.
You know what? I'm putting Babe Ruth in center, baby.
You trusting it?
Oh, yeah. Ken Griffey Jr., my ass. Babe Ruth is coming for you. So that would be pretty fun. I cannot wait for that.
Live by the Babe, die by the Babe.
I mean, this guy's going to hit like 3 home runs a game for me. If he gives up a couple extra singles, so be it.
Exactly.
All right, I think that's basically all we got. You got anything else, Aaron?
I've got nothing else.
So that is it for our final podcast before MLB The Show 18 comes out. Like we said, on Thursday, or Thursday night, Friday morning, however you want to look at it, definitely check on our Twitter feed. If you don't know how to preload the game, we will be walking you through on there once we know exactly how to do it. Obviously, it changes basically seemingly every day on how to preload, but definitely check it out on Twitter. Our links are in the description below, of course, but our Twitter accounts are at MLB The Showcast is our actual Twitter account. My Twitter account is at XWhatTheMoose, and Aaron's is at AaronPlaysMLB. Check us out there. Leave us a 5-star rating. Thank you guys for listening so much, and have a good one, and enjoy MLB 18 The Show.